Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church. It's been news. Morning, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word this morning, Father, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us so that the words that are spoken this morning are not ours, Father, but they're yours. Open our hearts and minds to be responsive, Father, to be receptive, so that we can grow stronger, walk straighter, walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this service. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to bring Brother Dennis up here now, get him started on his message and see what God gives him for us.
Good morning, everyone. While I'm getting my stuff together here, I would encourage you to grab a pencil and a piece of paper, because I'm going to give some stuff out. I'm going to do things a little different this morning than we normally do. I'm going to give the explanation for what we're going to talk about, and then we're going to read it. Normally we read it and then give the explanation, but we're going to go a little backwards today. I'm going to give the explanation, then we'll read it. And it'll probably be a little bit long on the long side today, because I'm going to do two chapters instead of one. And one's going to be out of the book of Revelation, and the other one's going to be out of Matthew. And before we get started, I want to explain a few things, because it's vitally important that you understand what's going on. One of the main things that you need to understand, particularly whenever you read the book of Revelation, you always have to sit back and ask yourself, who is it written for? And what is it written for? And you need to answer those questions right off the bat. And a lot of people get this really, and this is what causes a lot of confusion about the book of Revelation. Okay? There is absolutely nothing, well, I shouldn't say nothing, there's 99% of the entire book of Revelation, almost word for word, is in previous chapters of the book, of the Bible, whether it be in the New Testament or the Old Testament, everything in here is in other parts of the Bible. There's only a handful of things that are not. Then we need to understand what the name of the book actually is, Revelation, which means it's a revealing. Some people call it the book of the apocalypse, which actually means revelation, which comes back to the revealing. You know, apocalypse don't mean bad things that are going to happen. I mean, that's what the book talks about is bad things. But apocalypse actually means that it's an unveiling. Okay? So you need to understand that as well. Now, a lot of people are scared of this book because it's full of symbols and this, that, and the other. And again, if you study the Bible, which is my main thing I want people to do, is study the Bible. If you study the Bible, everything in it is explained. A lot of it is explained immediately thereafter. And I'll give you a good example. It's talking about in the very first chapter. It's talking about when John goes up, he sees two lampstands and the stars. Well, immediately thereafter, Christ explains to him what they are. And that happens throughout the book. So if you read it and you don't understand it, another good example talks about the dragon, okay? Well, all you got to do is go back to Genesis and it explains who the dragon is. Plus, that's an ongoing theme throughout the entire Bible. And if it don't explain to it, you know, immediately thereafter, then it explains everything in previous books of the Bible. That's why it's important to read the entire Bible from Genesis 1 all the way through. And if you do that and you actually study, you'll have a good, thorough, no misunderstandings about it, explanation of what's going to happen, who it's going to happen to, and why it's going to happen. And those are key things, because we're coming upon the time where this book is going to be extremely relevant. So we don't need to be scared of it. We need to get into it. We need to study it. We need to understand it. But in order to do that, you got to, once again, you got to ask yourself some questions. Who is it written for? Well, you got a lot of people say, well, this book was written for the people of John's time, and it was written, you know, a lot of people say it was written around 70 AD. We know it's not true, but that's what they say, because it explains what happened to the, you know, with the church or the Jerusalem fell and all that stuff. We'll say they come up with all kinds of false explanations and this, that, and the other. That's not true. The book of Revelation was one of the last books that actually was written. And it was written sometime roughly around 90 AD, after the fall of Jerusalem, and after the Jews had been expelled out of it again. And then you got another bunch of people that say that this book is not written for believers, because we're not going to be here. You know, we're going to be raptured before this book even takes place. Well, that makes absolutely no sense, because it finally states, which we're going to get into today, finally states we are going to go through this. And that's part of what we're going to discuss today. Yeah. And another thing is there's an ongoing thing, not just in Revelation. Christ talks about it multiple times himself in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's an ongoing thing, particularly in the book of Revelation, that you must endure and you must overcome. Then and only then will you be saved. Okay? That's an ongoing thing. Christ says it multiple times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's an ongoing thing throughout the book of Revelation. It says you must endure and you must overcome to be saved. Saved from what? Well, saved from going to the lake of fire, obviously. You know, you got to pay attention, you gotta read and listen to what it's telling you. Pray before you read it and understand what it is that you're reading. But, and there's something else that I want you have to understand. People say, and it's actually, and we're gonna read it actually today, that it says that no one knows the day or the hour of when Christ comes. But it also tells you that the time is near, the time is nigh. You know, it says that. Well, how can it be? How can you have two separate things meaning the same thing? Well, they really don't. It's the target audience. That's the reason I was talking about this. You must understand who the target audience is for certain books. Okay? The target audience of the book of Revelation is the church, and it is in the last days. This book is totally, for the most part, totally irrelevant until the last days of the last church on earth. Then it becomes extremely relevant, okay? But because we don't know when Christ is going to come back, we need to be very familiar with it. But once, you know, once the first rider rides, then it becomes extremely relevant, and you need to know. If you don't know at that point, you're going to be in a world of hurt. So it's important to read it to understand what's going on, because if you don't, then you're going to be in a world of hurt. So again, you got to understand who the target audience is. Understand what the going theme is, which is to endure and overcome. Christ said that multiple times, and it's the ongoing theme in the book of Revelation. As a matter of fact, when he's writing to the churches, the seven churches, that's one of the main things that he's talking about. He's telling them, those who endure and those that overcome shall be saved. It says that multiple times. Now, getting back to knowing when Christ has come, there, people say multiple times, I've heard it my entire life, that Christ could come at any minute. That's not true. Christ himself, multiple times, and we're going to cover those today, gives us four very specific things that will happen before he comes. Now, they may be on the footsteps of his coming, but there are four very, very, very specific things. Now, there's some generalized things, you know, that everybody always talked about. Those are general things, you know, the earthquakes, the famines, the wars and rumors of wars and all that stuff. Those are generalized things. And those things will increase the closer we get to the end. But those are not the four specific things. Christ gave us four very, very specific things. And at least three of these things are going to be in the chapter that we're going to be reading in Revelation today. And then you'll see all four of them in the chapter of Matthew that we're going to read. That's what I say. It's going to be a long one today. But it's important that you understand these things. So I told you a while ago, if you had pencils, I'd grab them, because I'm going to give you the four specific things that God said, or Christ said, will happen before he comes back. Number one, the gospel will be spread throughout the entire world. Okay? Now, you got a lot of people out there that say that that's being done through evangelism, that's being done through the internet, that's being done through radio, that's been done through all this stuff, that we're slowly now, towards the end, getting the message out there. And that is extremely true. I'm not taking away from that. However, there's for everything in the Bible, there's always two witnesses for everything that you read and listen to. There's two witnesses to everything. Now, us going out there and doing that, there's not a witness in the Bible, okay? Now, there is a witness in the Bible for this one particular thing, and it's in Revelation chapter 14. It says that you've got an angel flying overhead throughout the entire earth spreading the gospel. That's your second witness. The first, and what I'm telling you, actually, we're going to read it here in a little bit, but that's coming from Matthew 24, and the second witness to that very same thing is in Revelation 14. And one thing that I must point out to you, okay, and this is where a lot of people get confused and don't have a good, thorough understanding. The book of Revelations is not in chronological order, okay? It's in the order that John saw the visions. That does not necessarily mean things are in chronological order. And in fact, what a lot of people don't understand is throughout the book of Revelations, it's written twice, once from one perspective and then again from a different perspective. So you're actually seeing the same things twice, and you may see something in one part, the first half, that explains it one way, and then you'll see it in the second half that explains it another way. Okay, the only things that are in chronological order in the book of Revelations are the seven seals, seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. Everything else could be back and forth, okay? But the seven seals are in chronological order, the seven trumpets are in chronological order, and the seven bowls are in chronological order. That's the only things that are, without a doubt, in chronological order, okay? And something else, we're not going to get into it today, but something else that you need to thoroughly understand, there's a lot of teaching going on out there that tells you that the 7 years of tribulation, where tribulation means trial or test, okay, is God's wrath. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. The seven seals are not part of his wrath. And in fact, that's one of the things we're going to see today. The last thing that it says after the sixth seal is broken, it says, and now his wrath has come, okay? So the seals are not part of the wrath, okay? The seals, to put it in better terms, the things that happen during the seals are instigated by Satan. However, they're all man-made. They're all done by man. Man is doing each and every one of the things that's in the seal, okay? When it comes to the trumpets and the bowls, those are all done spiritually. So it's done by the angels. Okay? Everything, if you pay attention, everything that's done in the seven seals, or the six seals actually, is done by man himself. Every one of them. So pay attention to that whenever you're reading it, and you'll get a better understanding, because the seven seals are separate from the trumpets and the bowls. The trumpets and the bowls actually are judgments. And the bowls specifically are wrath. Okay? Once you get that, you'll understand it a little better. The second sign of his coming is the sun, moon, and stars are darkened. It's very specific. It says both in Matthew and in Revelation that he will not come until the sun, moon, and stars are dark. Okay? Another sign of his coming is that every eye will see him. He'll be coming on the clouds, sitting on his throne on the clouds. Okay? And every eye will see him. It'll be like lightning. Real bright. Every eye will see him. Okay? Another sign, because I said there was four, is you will see the man of sin in the holy place, okay? And it tells you that, you know, remember the book of Daniel, remember the desolation. Well, that's what he's talking about, okay? So, again, you need to understand that those things are going to happen. We don't know the time frame that they're going to happen. We know that there's a 7-year period that all this stuff could happen in. Some say it's going to all happen at the beginning. Some say it's going to happen in the middle. Some say it's going to happen at the end. The only thing that I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that it will happen before he comes. And there's one other thing that the Bible tells us, okay, something that people have missed for the better part of 2,000 years, is it tells us very specifically that he will not come until after 2,000 years. It very says that. They don't say it here. It's in the Old Testament. It tells us that he will come back after the second day. And we know through Ecclesiastes that a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Says he will come back after the second day. After the second day. Okay? So, you know, you always have people saying, well, it don't matter when Christ was crucified. It don't matter when he was born. Being born is very true. We don't, you know, his birthday is irrelevant. Celebrating birthdays, in fact, is a pagan tradition that we're not supposed to get involved in anyway. But I digress on that. The thing is, if we know when he died, see, we don't even know the year that he died, to be honest with you. You got some people, and the reason we don't know, let me clarify that, the reason we don't know is because we don't know if they were using a Jewish calendar. We don't know what calendar they were specifically using at that time. And then on top of that, calendars have changed several times since then. You know, we're using a Gregorian calendar now, and that calendar was put out by Pope Gregory in, I can't even remember what year it was, but, you know, then multiple calendars have been used. You know, and on top of that, we went from the 360-day year to a 365-day year, and that kind of screws up the counting of the years and this, that, and the other. So we honestly don't know, and honestly can't know to within, 100 years anyway. But the thing that we do know is he will not come until after 2,000 years. And if he was to count it by 365-day year, then we would be coming up on 2,000 years here in end of the decade, okay? Because that would have been, AD 30, between 27 and 33 is whenever they say he was killed. Split the difference, AD 30, and then, 2,000 years after AD 30 would be, 2030, but that's using a 365-day year instead of a 360-day year. So again, it's irrelevant. The point is we're there. Okay, we're at the time where we need to be concentrating on what's going on, because we know that we're on borrowed time, and that's why it's important that we get out there and study the word. It's important that we pass the word on. And it's important that we spread the word, And people say, well, I don't need to spread the word. That's not my calling. Yeah, it's everybody's calling. And I'll give you a good example, okay? Christ gave the apostles, whenever he was here, a very observable demonstration of what can and will happen to those that don't do what he told them to do for the Great Commission. Remember the fig tree. And Christ wanted a fig. He wanted a piece of fruit. Okay? The fig tree didn't have the fruit on it. He cursed the fig tree. It died. Okay? It tells us throughout there that we are supposed to magnify the fruit. We're supposed to grow the fruit. We're supposed to, spread the word, which is the fruit. And if we don't do that, then, we're that fig tree that's not doing what it's supposed to do. We're not passing on the word. We're not doing what it's supposed to do. And guess what? We're going to perish too. But we need to be aware of this. That is one of the great commands. That's one of the last things that Christ said for us to do when he gave the Great Commission, is to pass the word on, spread the word. And we're known by the fruit. And we're supposed to multiply that. Okay? So I'm gonna give you a couple books that you need to read from. And that's the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, and the book of Zechariah. All those books, particularly Daniel and Ezekiel, pretty much cover what's in the book of Revelations. Okay. Another thing that it talks about that people get all kinds of confused about and don't understand is it talks about marks, you know. Satan's going to give you his mark, you know. And then it also talks about, you know, being the believers in Christ being sealed as well. And if you need a better understanding of what that is, you can go to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 9, and it gives a real good explanation of that. There's a lot of people that don't understand what the scroll, you know, the scroll that's got the seven seals on it. A lot of people don't understand what the scroll is and what it talks about. You know, if you go to the book of Ezekiel again, chapter 2, it explains thoroughly what the seal, what the scroll is. And what's literally written on the scroll, it tells you those things. You know, that's why I say it's important to understand the entire Bible. And once you do that, you'll get a thorough understanding and you have a better understanding of what's going on. Again, we talked about the angels flying overhead. Here, some more notes I took down this morning as I was getting ready for this. I didn't even know what I was going to talk about for this morning. And then it talks about the sun, moon, and stars being darkened, okay? That specifically, and it talks about it being at the second coming of Christ, you know, when he comes to rapture his church. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 13. It's also in the book of Joel, chapter 2. It's in the book of Amos, chapter 8. It's in Ezekiel again. Ezekiel is a very, very, very good book for understanding end times. It's in Ezekiel 32. It's in Matthew 24, which we're going to try to get through today. It's also in the book of Acts, chapter 2. All these things are spread out throughout the Bible, so there should be no misunderstanding, no way that you can come up, and people still do because they don't want to listen to what the Word actually tells them. There's no way that you should be able to come up and say that there's a pre-tribulation rapture or that Christ is going to come at any time or any of those things. All right. So I'm going to read. Again, I'm not going to go into any explanations. I did my explanation ahead of time. What we're going to do is I want to read the sixth chapter of Revelation, which talks about the seals, and then we're going to go back to Matthew. And what I want you to do is compare the two with yourself. If you got time tonight or tomorrow or whatever, read the two together, back to back, and then see what kind of understanding that you come up with within yourself. Because it explains all this stuff. And if you take also the things that I've pointed to you in the Old Testament, it will give you a better and more thorough understanding. And then you can understand what's going on. And if you do that with each chapter of the book of Revelation, because I promise you, everything's explained. Everything. Only a couple things, and I'll give you one example before we get started, that does not give a good, thorough explanation in the Old Testament or in other books of the New Testament. It says that Christ gives, when we go to heaven, Christ gives us a white stone with a new name, okay? That's the one thing that I couldn't find a good, thorough explanation of. But Christ himself still gave us an explanation. And he said, how can I explain to you things of heaven when you can't even understand the things of this earth? So that's good enough for me. He doesn't explain to us that, you know, this a thing of heaven, you can't even understand all the things that's going on in the world right now. So there's no point in me even trying to explain to you what's going on, the things that take place in heaven. And that's something, again, You wouldn't know that unless you read the Bible and understood the Bible. And that's, again, that's my point. You need to study the Bible. Not just read it, but study it. And one of the things that can help you study the Bible is whenever you're reading it, my particular Bible just has, you know, little snippets at the bottom of each paragraph. But a lot of them, in the center column, it's got all those little reference points in it. Some of them have them at the beginning, some of them have the end, some of them have the bottom. But they all of them, I give you references to other parts of the Bible. Now, I'll grant you that when you do that, you may be reading, you know, one chapter, and that one chapter, if you go to all the other points of reference, you may be on it for a day, maybe even 2 days, just following up on the points of reference. But that's the things that you need to do to study the Bible, and you'll get a better, more clear understanding of what it is. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go that reference point, and it's going to point you to another reference point, it's going to point you to another reference point, and once you put all those reference points together, then you'll have a big picture of what's going on, and that's what you need, and that's what you need to have. All right, so let's get into our reading. And again, I'm sorry it's going to be a long one, but I think it's vitally important that we understand this, particularly in the times that we're coming into. All right, so chapter 6 of Revelation. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I'm going to stop right there real quick. I said I wasn't going to do much explaining here, but throughout the Bible, particularly this one, it talks about the four beasts. Let's talk about the cherubims. The four cherubims that are around God that holds up his throne and his covering him and all that stuff. You know, there's a cherubim that's on the Ark of the Covenant, you know, two cherubims covering. Well, it's the four cherubims. That's the beast that they're talking about. And again, Ezekiel covers that in more detail. Okay. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And that's just one other thing I forgot to mention, because it's important that you understand. The white horses, or the four horsemen, that's also explained in Ezekiel. It, you know, a lot of people go, well, you know, what are the four horsemen of the apocalypse? What are these four horsemen? If you go back to Ezekiel, it explains in detail what they are. It tells you that they're four spirits, okay? They're spirits. And it explains to you what they are. You have to, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to go through all the explanations. I'm just telling you that it's in the book of Ezekiel, and they'll explain to you what these are. Okay. Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. A crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come. Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And in some Bibles, were in mine it says penny, but in some of them it'll say denarius. In essence, what they're talking about is a day's wage. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name that sat upon him was Death and Hell. And some of them it says Hades, followed with him. And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood with them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season unto the fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they would, should be fulfilled. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island moved out of their places. And as the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Okay. Now let's go to Matthew. Matthew 24. Now, the book of Revelation shows what John seen whenever he was in the spirit in heaven, and Christ is showing him these things. Now, these are going to be the words straight out of Christ's mouth to the apostles, okay? And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings in the temple. And Jesus said to them, See ye not all these things, verily? I say unto you, there shall not be one left here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So they asked him two questions. When will these things take place, and when, and what are the signs that we will see at the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you. That is probably the most important thing said here. Take heed that no man shall deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Now I want to stop right there. When it's talking about the many that will be offended, and the many that will betray one another, and the many that will hate one another, he's not talking about the people outside out there. He's not talking about them. He's talking right here. He's talking about the people that say they're Christians. He's talking about the people that's in the church, okay? That's a key point that everybody needs to understand, because just because you got, 10,000 people in Joel Osteen's church does not mean that all 10,000 people that's in that church are going to heaven. Don't believe that for even a nanosecond, because that is not true, okay? It's going to be many of those that's going to get offended, and many of those that's going to betray one another, and many of those that's going to turn on one another, okay? And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. He's talking to Christians again. All this is talking, he's talking all about believers, and that's the thing that people need to understand. He's talking to believers about believers. But he, and this is, I told you this is an ongoing theme, but he that shall endure until the end shall be saved. And this kingdom of, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And that's what I was saying. You need to understand there's no such thing as a secret rapture, okay? You have to endure, you have to overcome, and then ye shall be saved, okay? And then the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world, a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Okay? Again, Revelation 14 talks about the angels flying overhead doing that very thing. Okay? They're deceptive witness to that. When ye shall see, we're on the number two of the four that I was talking about here. And when ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. That's telling you, you need to take note of this. Okay? Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on his house not come down and take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back and take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulations, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, your word, elect, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And that's also in the book of Zechariah. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise many false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. The word, behold, I have told you ahead of time or before. Wherefore, if thou shalt say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will be eagles. The eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, immediately after the tribulation of those days, which are the seven seals, which is the tribulation, okay, the testing, okay, people want to call the whole 7 years the tribulation, but it's not. The seven seals are the tribulation. The testing, which tribulation means testing, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man of heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. And he shall send his angels with a great trumpet, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they, the angels, they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, and from one end of earth, from heaven to the other. Okay? Very plain, very straightforward. It's telling you when it's going to happen. It's after the tribulation period, which is after the six seals. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And he's talking about the four things that I told you that have to happen before he comes. No secret rapture. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Okay? So once you see those four things, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come like right now. Okay? That's why it says nobody knows the day or the hour. But I promise you, when you see those four things, you need to be looking up because it is coming. Okay? But it ain't coming till those four things. Written twice, you got two witnesses to the exact same thing. You got two witnesses, it's golden, it's rolled in stone. That's the way it's going to happen. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour no man knows, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and they took them all away, so shall also the Son of Man be. Okay? And I'm going to stop right there for just a second and explain that to you, because a lot of people come up with all kinds of convoluted theories, and some of them may have some validity to them, and some of them not. But just to put it in just straight up, you know, man-to-man vernacular to you, okay? What he's ultimately trying to tell you is, and you got to remember, I told you that the seals are all man, okay? Man are doing these things. They may be doing them through the auspices of Satan, you know, he may be guiding them to do it. But they're all things that you see. They're natural things, what my point is. They're all natural things, okay? There's nothing supernatural about any of them, okay? They're all natural things. And that's the thing that you need to keep in mind. They're all natural things. And because they are all natural things, people are going to overlook them. Just like people are overlooking things right now, you know? You've got, right now, you've got, you know, we just had this garbage with the pandemic. You know, the Bible tells us that they're going to start persecuting the church. Well, what was one of the first things that happened? They shut the churches down. First thing that happened, okay? All these things are in the Bible. You got to pay attention to them. But it's like the proverbial frog in the boiling water, you know? You put the frog in water and you do the heat real slow. The frog don't even know he's boiling. And that's ultimately what he's talking about here, okay? He's talking about things are happening so slow, and because you've got all this disinformation, you know, they want to call what we talk about now as disinformation because, you know, we're talking bad about, you know, transgenderism and you know, there's only two sexes and all that stuff. You know, and by the way, we're fixing to be shut down because of that. But, you know, those are the things that they're talking about. We are literally the proverbial frog in the boiling water. It's happening so slow, and it's happening, I shouldn't even say it's happening slow, but it's happening so progressively that we don't know that it's happening to us. That's literally what it's talking about there. This is the best way to explain it. Because otherwise, why would they still be getting married? Why would they still, you know, that's what it's talking about. They're still giving marriage. They're still doing the things, the day-to-day things, even though all of this bad stuff's going on around them, you know. And people say, Well, they're killing the martyrs. They're killing the people of the church. Okay. Well, let's just move right back to what was going on during the pandemic. You had neighbors saying, "Well, he's not wearing his mask, or he didn't get a shot. You know, I don't want to be around him." But, you know, people were calling on the phone, telling the cops, "You need to arrest him because he didn't get his shot, or he's not wearing a mask." That happened. That just happened. Those are things that just literally happened. Okay, so we can see how all this stuff could happen. We can see how all these things could progress. I mean, everything that's coming in one form or another has already taken place. And it was, like I said, I've said from day one that this past pandemic was nothing more than a test to see what people would take and what they wouldn't take. And I firmly believe that with every fiber of my being. And these are the things that they're talking about, and those are the things that are coming forth, and these are the things that are going to happen. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and one left." And I want to stop right there for just a second. It's important to understand who they're talking about here, okay? It's extremely important, okay? Most people will tell you that it's the Christian being taken and a secular buddy that's being left behind. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking to believers about believers. That's the key that you need to understand here. He's talking about believers here. There's going to be two believers standing in the field. One's going to be taken and one's going to be left behind. Two women shall be grounded at the mill. One shall be taken and one left behind. Two believers. "Watch therefore, for ye know not for what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in watch that thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise? Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him a ruler over his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth the coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Okay? Again, I've said it many times. The pastor said it many times. Just because you say you're a Christian does not mean that you're going to heaven. Just because you believe does not mean you're going to heaven. The times that we're going through now and the times that we're going to go through, should we be alive when this happens, the book of Revelation happens, which I firmly believe will be, but who knows? This is all a test, okay? Everything that happens to you is a test. The ongoing theme that Christ said it multiple times. You have to pick up your cross, which means that you got to die, which means you're also going to go through some bad times. This is those who endure multiple times, which means that if everything in your life is going, you know, just straight down the line, you don't have a problem in the world, you need to back up and probably check yourself out real good, because it's telling you the only thing Christ ever promised you was a hard time. That's it. On this earth, anyway. While you're on this earth, the only thing that Christ promised you was a hard time. He promised you that you were going to be, you know, you're going to be the person that everybody goes after. You're going to be chastised. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to have a hard road to hoe throughout the whole thing. That's all he's promising you. And he who endures and he who overcomes shall be saved. But don't take anybody else with it. It says he who endures and he who overcomes and he who picks up his cross. Those are the people that's going to be saved. Don't say those who believe will be, okay? We just read that, and it's important for you to understand who the audience is, who he's talking to, okay? He's talking to believers, about believers, and two of them in the field, one gets taken and one don't, okay? That's important for you to understand. He's not talking about the secular people out there, the people that don't believe. He's talking to believers about believing. And that's why it's important that you read this book on a daily basis. It's important that you understand what this book is talking about. It's important that you spend time in prayer on a daily basis, multiple times a day, to get yourself right with him, to get yourself prepared for the tests that are going to come to you, the trials and tribulations. Whether it be the big test or whether it be the small test that you live through a daily life, you need to be able to do it. And the thing, key to it all, the only thing that he really wants is praise. That's it. He wants you to trust him, put your faith in him, that he's going to bring you through these things. Okay? That's it. He's going to put you through those to test your faith, to see if you even have any faith. And if you do have faith, that also builds your faith. It strengthens your faith. Every trial that you go through strengthens your faith. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, okay? And don't think that you can't possibly die. I mean, that's one of the things it tells us, you know. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to be martyrs. So don't... But to kill you, if you've got the proper faith and the proper understanding to kill you in God's name, is a blessing. You know, that's a blessing. So I'm going to leave it there. Probably done went over quite a bit anyway. So I'm going to stop there. You got anything you want to say? All right. So let's go to the Father in prayer and thank him for all the wonderful things that he has given us. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. Thank you for your understanding that you've given us of your word. Thank you for giving us this marvelous book of your reading and of your understanding and of your essence. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the understanding and the strength to endure and the strength to overcome whatever adversities that are thrown in our path. Thank you for all these things, because again, we understand that what makes us strong, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger and deepens and strengthens our faith. And Lord, I pray that you do continue to build and strengthen our faith so we may continue to overcome whatever adversities that are at hand. And Lord, we pray for all the children that are being murdered in the womb. We pray that you take care of them and guide them. And Lord, for all the martyrs that are being martyred throughout the world, and in Jesus' name, we pray that you give them the strength to overcome, the strength to endure all the things that they're going through. And Lord, we know that even in this country, while we're not currently dealing with some of those situations, we fully know and expect them to start taking place in this country. And we pray that you give us the strength to cope and to endure and overcome those obstacles as well. And all the people that's on our prayer list, Lord, there are many on there that need healing. We pray that you give each and every one of them the healing touch, guide them, and help them with whatever needs that they need. And Lord, we pray that all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.